This is the Wally Show podcast with Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. You can always find us at wayfm.com/Wally or stream us live every weekday morning through the WayFM app.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Uplifting WayFM.
News can be a little heavy, so we like to do news-ish. Here's Betty.
If you carry the title of boss in the workplace, it's very important to take your role seriously, making sure one of your main priorities is looking after the well-being of your employees.
Absolutely. I agree 100% with that. Why are you looking at me?
I think she would call
Why
that
are you looking
your,
at me?
I think she would call that your stupid face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get stupid face. No, I agree. I'm not a boss. I agree with that.
No one accused you of that. But not all bosses think that way. They're not always putting their employees first. There are a few bad ones out there. So if you want to make sure that you don't fall in that category, I found this list that was put together of some of the worst traits a boss can have. It includes they don't encourage you.
No. Okay.
So they're constantly looking at the negative, never focusing on the positive.
Yeah, there is something about building people up, and it can't. And a lot of times, honestly, like, you know, how they say you can't love if you don't love yourself, you can't love other people. Mm-hmm. I think being a boss is the same way. Like, if you're not happy or you're not content, if you're nervous about your job and things like that, you don't build other people up around you because you don't have that capacity because you're kind of messed up. Mm-hmm. And so if you're healthy, you're going to create a healthier work environment.
Right. Another thing that made the list was playing favorites. If your boss plays favorites, you feel like it's kind of a boys club or a girls club or, you know, you just can't fit in. That's not a good quality to have.
Absolutely. I don't aspire to that. I love you both equally. You're my favorite, Gavin.
I knew it.
Thank you.
Whatever makes him feel better.
I'll take it.
Another one, too, is they don't listen to you.
Huh? You knew that one was coming. That was an easy one. I really feel it's bad true. For taking that one. Was not good.
If they don't listen to you, you have ideas, and then they're just... you know, shove you off and don't make time for you. That's not a good boss.
My worst thing coming up was when like someone would listen to you, but then they would steal your idea.
Take credit for
it. Oh yes. Ugh. In radio, like that happens all the time. And it was so bad because all you have is your ideas, mm-hmm. you know, that's your creativity. It's not like you can look at your production at the end of a week of making a product and go, I did all this, you mm-hmm. know? And so that's a big one for me. Like, that's like when you guys come up with stuff, I'm constantly telling people, like, Gavin did this and Gavin did this and Gavin rocked this out. And
wait a
Gavin
minute.
Was amazing.
I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
I come up with ideas.
And Betty showed up today and we were so thankful.
Thank you.
You guys are both amazing and I definitely push you guys up and build you up too.
Okay. All right. Push the button.
Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show, and grace is something that we all want, and sometimes we don't always give it out. There's actually this thing called National Pardon Day, not Dolly Pardon Day, but just Pardon Day. You know, I guess if you're a criminal, like, hey, it's National Pardon Day.
That's really true, but I think all of us have found ourselves there as the... receiver of a pardon. Maybe we were in a situation where we didn't deserve it, but someone gave it to us, showed us grace, and man, we were super thankful for it.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing, I'm telling you, man, there's very few things in this world that are more powerful than forgiveness. And when you extend it to people, it makes you feel great as well. But boy, receiving it, when you know you are not deserving of it and somebody extends grace or that pardon, if you will, to you, man, it can be life-changing for people. And so I am curious, you know, Betty came up with this thought. She's like, what if, what's the greatest pardon or grace you are so happy to receive in your life from somebody? I'd love to hear your stories, you know, of what led to this and how it changed you. 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. It's 855-33-WAY-FM. We love having you on the show. It's super easy. If you put that in your favorites, too, A lot of times you can get through faster as people are trying to call and be part of stuff that we're talking about. So, again, what's that pardon or grace that you were super happy to receive from somebody that maybe you didn't deserve? 855-33-WAY-FM. What is that pardon or grace that you received from somebody?
I would say many years ago, I had a problem with stealing because I grew up poor. And I actually got caught at a store and they transported me to jail. And in the holding cell, I just cried out to God and asked him to give me another chance. So the guard came and he said, "I don't know why I'm doing this for you, but I'm going to give you another chance and stop stealing." And from that day, I have never stolen, and God has blessed me tremendously.
That's pretty crazy. How old were you? Were you like a teenager?
No, actually, I was about maybe 23 at the time.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's a big deal.
I had to really learn my lesson.
Naomi, with this forgiveness that you were shown, have you found it easier to forgive others throughout your life?
Oh, definitely. Because as I got older and I had my daughter, she stole with her friends. And it was a moment where I was able to tell her that I was in the same shoes before. And, you know, God will bless you.
Yeah, the people who are really good at giving out grace are usually the ones that have received a big dose of it at some point in time in their lives. I think what I like is you didn't squander that chance. You got a second chance, and you cried out to God, and then you made the most of it moving forward.
Absolutely.
Have you ever been given forgiveness or grace that you didn't deserve?
For my family, I've made some really stupid decisions when I was younger, and my family still welcomed me back with open arms. So once I realized how stupid my decisions were, they forgave me. They didn't abandon me. They didn't kick me out of the family or anything like that. You know, and you see that happen so often these days. Your parents wash their hands of you, and mine didn't.
Jessica, if we have some parents that might be going through a similar situation with their own child, maybe something that like you did with your own family, what advice would you give to those parents?
I would say give it to the Lord first and foremost. But I think that when people realize that after they forgive somebody, they can live a happier life rather than being angry all the time, that's when that change starts to happen. When it clicks in your head.
So after receiving that kind of life-changing grace, have you found yourself kind of paying that forward with other people?
Yes, I have. So I've personally been through a divorce, and I'm on great terms with my ex-husband. We raise our child together, and I've kind of paid it forward that way because I don't want my son to see hatred in our life. And I can't control what his dad feels about me, but I can control what I project to my son about how I feel about his dad.
Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show, and the Scoop is designed to help you out with things that we've learned that make our lives a little bit better and can help you in the same way. I kind of have a pre-scoop, okay?
What is a pre-scoop?
This is new. It's not 100% a scoop yet because I'm still in a trial phase, okay? But so far, I'm enjoying this, all right?
Okay.
So, you know, I had like plantar fasciitis, and so I went to the Good Feet store. And I went in there and they measured my feet and they did all these things. One foot is almost a full size bigger than the other.
What?
That was news.
That's
crazy. Craziness. And then they put you in these like insole things and in a pair of tennis shoes. Like, oh, that feels lovely. Like, oh, walk around. This is great. And then so at the end of all of this, I go, hey, just out of curiosity, because I'm really loving what you're doing here. How much is it? And then the pause, and you're like, oh, that pause just told me everything. Mm-hmm. Well, it's an investment in your feet. And you're, I'm like, no, how much is it? And for like the three sets of insoles, it was like $1,300. There was another family that was in there. There's a couple that was in there, and they had been waiting their turn. And then they heard this. They both snapped their necks looking at each other, and then they walked out.
But I'm telling you, my dad, he had back issues, and he got these and swears by them.
Well, here's the thing, I knew that. And then my wife was like, you know what? Let's just see what Amazon has. Because like the Good Feet one was three different ones, and they were basically $500 each, okay? Mm-hmm. And so we looked up like plantar fasciitis insoles, and there's one called the Ninja. And
ooh.
So I'm wearing them right now. I've been wearing them for the last couple days.
Oh.
It's actually working. Like, it actually feels really good. You know how much they were?
$20.
$29.99.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, I could literally, I did the math, I literally could buy a new pair of these every year for 15 years to equal one of the other insoles, you know? And by 15 years, I'm probably going to be in a walker, or like a wheelchair or something, so it's not going to matter.
So I guess we'll see. What is it supposed to help with?
Like, it is supposed to relieve that foot pain and back pain and stuff. And so far, it actually is working. Like, and I know that, like, if you know, sell high-end things, you're like, well, that's a cheap knockoff, you know, but it's like, all right, I'll buy three of them then, you know, like,
right.
Not a big deal. I'm still saving money.
Right. And I see where you're coming from, because I'm all about a good deal.
Yeah.
I just don't know, like you said, a pre-scoop.
Pre-scoop, right.
Is it going to last as long as the expensive ones?
Yeah, and I don't know. But so far, the preliminary testing, it's pretty great. I could dance if I wanted to right now.
Please don't.
But that's not good for anybody. And so, yeah, but it actually is working. So maybe just a thought, if you've been in that same place before or you're having that foot pain, you want to test it out. It's a low entry point to test it out and go, oh, yeah, this actually does work. And the insoles don't bother my feet and my shoes.
So check with Jeff Bezos first.
Yeah. He needs another yacht. It's good.
Here's Professor Wally with some exciting news.
Your education is the one thing that no one can take from you. And it's important now more than ever to make sure that you have what you need to remain competitive in a shifting economy. To help get you started, Colorado Christian University is offering you the chance to win a $10,000 or a $5,000 scholarship to Colorado Christian University online. You can even get a $1,000 scholarship just for entering. So how do they enter, Betty?
Just go to ccu.edu/wayfm and fill out a short form, and you're in. It's that easy.
Don't just dream about going back to school. Do it. Right now, you have a chance to win a $10,000 or a $5,000 scholarship to Colorado Christian University online.
And this opportunity will end on September 16th, so you don't want to miss out. Enter today by texting CCU to 91979. That's CCU to 91979. Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart.
Uplifting Way FM.
If you're not careful, you might just learn something today.
Hey there. Is there a project you're working on?
I know more than you.
All right.
It's the Wally Show.
So every year, Apple does their big announcement of their new products, and this year is no exception. They recently let the cat out of the bag that the new iPhone 14 is coming out.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's kind of like the iPhone 13, but it has like a better camera and stuff. So it's not super, super different. Betty, you had said that Steve Jobs, former CEO who passed away, his daughter had like posted something kind of throwing some shade.
She did. She posted a meme, and it's this old man. It's like a picture of like him in front of the Christmas tree, and he's wearing this plaid shirt, but it looks like he just opened up a Christmas present, and it's the same plaid shirt. So he's holding it and like smiling, but you know, it's like, and
That's
she was
funny.
Like, when you upgrade your phone to an iPhone 14.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's a little awkward.
Well, we'll see. But you know what? They did also talk about their Series 8 watches aimed at helping women with fertility.
What?
Like, you heard me right. There's an app for just about anything, apparently. Like, my wife got an Apple Watch because she wanted to track her heart and things like that after she had some issues. So they started improving things like that. So I get that. And so this watch, the advanced feature is, like, it has two temperature sensors that collect data when you are sleeping, and it helps determine ovulation. Yes, because apparently I learned some stuff. I did some research. I did a deep dive where I didn't want to dive into. I'm in a pool. I'm drowning in right now.
Yes, but I now that makes sense to me.
Does
because
it?
I have heard of friends that decide to check their temps.
Yes, okay.
In the morning, and it can tell you whether or not you
okay.
are.
I never understood that. Okay.
Yes.
So apparently, here's the deep dive of what I learned. Maybe this will help you, Rock, that most women's at rest body temperature increases slightly during that time. And the watch helps you track that. So if you're wanting to start a family, you can better be prepared. And it says that after using the watch's sleep feature for 5 nights, the device will recognize the temperature changes, kind of build that profile, and then will even send you notifications.
Oh my goodness. Technology is amazing.
I know. And scary.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I could see where this would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great thing. It was weird for me to research and dance all around, but there you go. If you've got, you know, like starting your family and the iPhone 8 seems like the thing for you, it's coming out.
Tell me more.
Nope. I'm done talking about it. Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show, and we all have a story, and a lot of times our story, even the messed up part of it, can help somebody else out, and that's kind of what I'm hoping on right now, that you can help us. I got this email the other day. It says, "Hey, Wally, my sister just admitted to me that she's an atheist. We were raised in the same family, brought up in the same churches. We both studied and researched the Bible, but where my faith grew, hers was lost. And this apparently isn't a new thing. She admitted that she's secretly been an atheist for years, and I don't know how to feel about this." Mm. And it's frustrating, too. Yeah, it's hard. You hurt for somebody that didn't come to the same conclusion as you. And it's real easy. Part of my advice to her was, it's real easy to make every interaction with your sister about this subject. And I'm like, I caution you about that, you know? Yeah. Because if she knows that, oh, we're just going to have an argument about atheism or faith, mm-hmm. then I don't want to interact anymore. And then you lose the ability to have influence in her life. And so you have to just kind of love her and let her go and trust that God has other people in her life that are working on her as well. Like, I don't think he ever calls one person to save one person. Mm-hmm. I think he calls us to be a part of that plan, mm-hmm. but he's constantly seeking out people and getting to them multiple ways.
And I love that advice that you gave. And I think that that's something we could actually use not only in a family's relationship, but with a friend relationship as well.
Yeah. And so I am curious, though. Here's the thing, because I want this to be kind of hope for this girl, because right now she feels kind of hopeless. Like it's bad, and my sister's going to die and not end up in heaven with me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that I would love to hear your stories of either yourself or people in your life, kind of atheist diaries here. You know, like, you went from I don't believe in God at all to there is a God that loves me, values me, and I became a believer. What was that process? What was that journey? And it might give her some hope. So whether it's you or somebody you know, there's a famous book, The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. He set out to prove that there was no God, mm. and he was an atheist. And at the end of all of that searching, he became a believer.
Wow.
You know, and so when you truly seek out God, I think most people find him, mm-hmm. you know? And so I'd love to hear your stories now. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. I just wanted to give a little hope here today with, like, your story of maybe being an atheist or someone in your life not believing in God, and how you or they found God.
So I had a coworker who was an atheist and still is, but for 5.5 years I have been transparent about who I am and that I'm still a sinner and I make mistakes, and I tell her I'm praying for you. Well, one day she said, "You know, I still don't believe in God, Lisa, but you're the closest thing I've ever seen to a Christian who really walks what they talk." And then about a month later, she says, "My grandmother's dying." She says, "I don't pray, but will you pray for her?" And the fact that she acknowledged that there was a God that we pray to for healing was huge. She's still not there yet,
right,
but she is starting to ask questions. So don't give up, and don't, you don't have an argument every time about God, but it's so easy just to live your faith in front of them, and they see that more than anything you can try to beat them into heaven with.
There you go. And I love that term, beat them into heaven.
And it is, because a lot of people feel that way, and we're not called to beat them in. We're called to show them and lead them to Christ.
Have you had a story like that in your life?
I do. I grew up in church my whole life and never questioned anything, never doubted. But my husband, he did not grow up in the church. He moved here for work, and we met and started hanging out and dating and stuff. And I asked him once, invited him to come with me to church, and he said, "Well, I don't really do church." I said, "Okay, well, do you believe in God?" And he went, "I don't know." And every time the conversation came up again, it was always the same response, "I don't know." And he's a scientist, he's an engineer, so he was always all about data and proving things. And
empirical evidence. Yeah, I get that. That can be the hardest part, because faith has things that you don't know the answers to.
Exactly. And I think he just couldn't believe in something he couldn't see and he couldn't understand.
I get that. So what was the turning point for him?
Yeah, we were married for 14 and a half years before he finally made a move and accepted Christ. We had just changed churches. The church we were at before was very legalistic, and it was just not a good situation. So we moved to a new church, and we heard more messages of mercy and love and hope in a month something I had heard probably my whole life.
I have to think, too, that being around people that are strong in their faith and good representations of their faith makes a huge difference on guys. Like, I saw a guy go through just the worst, losing everything that he had, you know, financially and family, and still being able to praise God through all of it. And it made a huge impact on me when I was kind of running from God as well. I'm like, man, if that guy can still say God is good and he's lost everything, there's something to this. There's something bigger than I'm seeing, right? You know? And so the effect that we can have on people by walking and living out our faith well is life-changing.
It is. And so that would be my advice to this girl. Don't harp on her about it. Just keep living and keep showing the light of Christ. And eventually the eyes will be opened.
So what's your story, man?
I acknowledge that there was a creator, but I didn't believe in God exactly. And, you know, at this point in life, it was during the pandemic. So things were really rough. And there's been someone that moved into my apartment complex and just a real God-loving, you know, God-fearing Christian. And he would just share with me little things every now and then and really show me the love that is Jesus in every, you know. So eventually, as time progressed, I started feeling a little tug at my heart. And then it was like one day on my way to work, I just had like an aha moment. You know, with all this pain and all this suffering going on in the world and everyone struggling, you know, I was being blessed and I was being taken care of. And it took this one person just sharing with me a little bit every other day. And it helped me open my eyes to acknowledge that God is there. And he was helping me through one of the toughest times, not only for me, but for our nation.
I think the important thing in what you're talking about, too, because this is relatively new for you, like faith, that's pretty cool, is that he consistently talked to you, but then he also was consistent in his faith. Like, so what he would share with you would match how he was as a neighbor, right?
Oh, exactly. I mean, he was always just like a shining light in the darkness. You know what I mean? It was nice to see a great big smile and to feel that joy and happiness emanating from someone, and it really is one of the things, like, I want what you have.
Yep, there are some people that just seem to radiate Jesus. It pours out of their pores, you know, and I gotta tell you, Vincent, you say this guy was super happy, well, you know, and you wanted what he had. It sounds like you got it, man. Like, you sound super happy, too.
I definitely am happy. I have many blessings to be smiling and be joyful about. I mean, I woke up, so already I'm on the winning end, you know what I mean?
There you go. See, Vincent's contagious, too. But in a good way.
What happiness is to you? Because I'm happy. Clap along
if you feel like that's what you want to do. Hey, a friend of mine came over to my house the other day with his 8-year-old and 5-year-old, and I blew their minds. Hey, it's Wally. I took a bunch of coins from our change jar and buried them in the backyard. We then used a metal detector to find buried treasure. I have never seen two kids freak out that much in their lives. They thought they found pirate treasure. Well, recently I went on my own treasure hunt, and I was just as excited. I talked to United Faith Mortgage about doing a cash-out refinance, and this is where you take some of the equity that's buried in your house, much like a pirate treasure chest, and you turn it into cash to use however you want. And with home prices being so high all across the country, you could have quite a little treasure on your hands. But the secret to any good treasure hunt is the map, and my friends at United Faith Mortgage know how to help you find the X that marks the spot. You could use your treasure to fix up your house, start a home business, pay off some bills, or have some cash for a rainy day. So talk to United Faith Mortgage to find your home's buried treasure. United Faith Mortgage. Start online, call anytime. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Uplifting Way FM.
He's wise beyond his years.
I can't really tell, but it seems like he's very good.
Here's Gavin.
I don't know about you guys, but I have always loved staying at a hotel. And
yes.
I say that about, like, you know, most good hotels. Holiday Inn Express. I've stayed in a few days in that obviously aren't good, but I love the you know, the hotel smell, new sheet smell.
Oh yeah,
even somebody the off brand.
It's weird staying in a hotel now though too, because so many things after COVID, they're like, ah, yeah, we might clean your room, we might not, we're not sure. If you want some new towels, maybe why don't you come down and get them? Like,
bring your own.
Yeah, the experience has definitely changed a little bit.
Absolutely. And one thing I've always seen, and I've never done this, but I've seen it in like TV shows and movies where people joke about grabbing those little things from the hotel and putting them in your suitcase that they won't notice and taking them home, like soaps or
okay.
shampoos or those little things.
My wife has just instructed me, because we're on vacation vacation next week that I need to help her abscond with all of the little lotions and things.
Really?
Yeah, because well, they can't use them again, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And so she's like, I don't want them to go to waste. And so she like gives them to like a homeless ministry and stuff like that. And so I'm like, okay, I guess. But I'm drawing the line at that. I think she would take other things, too. I think she's a klepto.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, no.
And speaking of the line, I think there is that line of things you obviously shouldn't take from a hotel. And I found this list of those obvious things you shouldn't take. But apparently some people still take the risk and take them. So the first thing was the sheets off the bed.
Who takes the sheets?
Why? Like, that's
no.
And disgusting.
Yeah. Like, buy some new ones. Like that's no.
The price of a hotel room, I would think, would probably... You could probably still buy sheets with that money.
Yeah, I have done this, though, before. Like, I've slept in a hotel bed and slept so good. I don't know if it's because you're on vacation and you're so tired, or the beds are just weren't broken in well or something. I have no idea. But, like, I've looked at the make of the mattress and researched buying a hotel mattress. Gosh. Yeah.
Wow, brilliant.
Super comfortable.
Electronics. So, like, the alarm clocks, the remotes, the... complimentary phone chargers that I've seen those
That's
in a couple
theft.
Places.
Like, that is who
Absolutely.
In their right mind thinks, oh, you know what? I did pay $89 for this room. I think the remote's fair game. Like, who in their right mind? Or they're just evil and taking the remote so you can't use it and you have to get up out of bed to change the channel.
Also, too, once again, I'm going to say disgusting, because I've read where the remote to the TV is the most disgusting part of a hotel room.
I believe that.
Why would I want to put that actually in my suitcase?
Yep.
No.
This last one, I actually 100%... kind of understand, because I never feel like I have enough of these at home. The wooden hangers from the closet. I feel like I always run out of hangers at home when I'm doing laundry. So apparently people do steal those hangers. They're not complimentary, apparently.
And that's why they make them with smaller rods, though, too, so that if you do, like, your curtain rod usually at home won't fit them.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's
because
they knew
level.
People were the worst. You know, there's that stereotype of, like, stealing the hotel bathrobes. You know, have you ever, like, people are always like, oh, yeah, steal the bathroom.
Because they're comfy, and people usually don't spend their own money on bathrobes.
No, but I've never stayed in a place that nice, you know, like, that offers you a bathrobe. I had to wrap myself up in the shower curtain, like, for warmth.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and we have new people that are joining the show every day and listening for the first time. And I wanted to give them a chance to learn a little bit more about Betty and Gavin here, because I talk a lot about myself. And so it's disproportionate. And so I'm going to ask you guys every couple weeks a series, just a question. I just want you to answer the question, okay? And so today's question is, what did your parents do that kind of messed you up, even though it wasn't really that bad, okay? So it's not like abuse or things like that, but just in the way that they raised you, you're like, oh, I'm still feeling the effects of this today. Wasn't horrible, but it altered me, kind of thing. Gavin, we'll start with you.
I think that for me, it was the fact that we moved every 2 or 3 years, because I grew up in a military family. My dad served in the Air Force. And so it was never him choosing, you know, of his own selfish accord to say, ah, let's get up and go. I want to do something new. It was part of, you know, his instructions was to get up and go to a new assignment.
And how did that make you feel as a child?
Well, as a 10-year-old going to school for the first time, and then a 12-year-old going to school for the first time, and then 14, this new school, that was a hard thing for me to get under wraps, that I had to continuously work and build new friendships. And I think that has benefited me in the long run, but for a while, especially in college, it was something that I felt like was almost unfair that I had to keep on going through that process and then lose people all the time.
As a kid, that's super hard. It does make you well-rounded. It does make you be able to accommodate and quickly
adapt.
Build friendships and stuff, because you have to.
Yeah.
But it definitely is not an easy road. But you're an interesting person because of it. So there you go. Okay, that was good. We learned something about Gavin.
Woo.
Betty Rock, the enigma wrapped in a riddle that is Betty.
Oh, my goodness.
So what is it that your parents did that might have slightly messed you up, even though it wasn't really that bad?
Being an only child and also being a young girl, my parents raised me to be very independent.
You don't need no man.
So it's a great thing to be, for sure. You don't want to be where you're settling, especially when it comes to marriage. You know, if you're not, if you need to have someone around 24/7. So being independent is important. But I would say being 37 now and still not married, maybe that independence has kind of hurt me in being too scary or...
Yeah, I can see. I can
for other guys.
Well, yeah, because if you're really resolute in who you are and not pliable as much, you know, because that's an only child thing and an age thing combined. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be intimidating, maybe, or it might be harder for you because you won't tolerate things from people in your life because you're like,
I'm fine as well,
I'm good like I am. Yeah. And while that's healthy, yeah, it's a great thing. I could see where that's problematic as well. Well, I think you are a strong, independent, fascinating young woman. So
thank you.
There you go.
I wish you didn't have that look on your face.
I hate that look on my face because
I know says you're just telling me what I want to hear.
I'm just not good at compliments. You know, that's what it is. So you guys are great. All right, so there you go. We've learned a little something about Betty and Gavin, and I want to do this every couple weeks to learn more about you.
Working for a living, living and working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. Ugh.
What's wrong with you?
We all have to go to work.
Ugh. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Work's the worst.
No, amen.
I was kidding. But for now, we found out how Betty feels. Like, no, we all have to go to work. And I truly, truly love my job. I love getting to do this every day, you know, and there are days I still wake up after 30 years of doing radio that I'm like, man, I get to go do this today, you know, and it's so easy to talk about the bad parts of work because every job has bad parts. This job has bad parts, you know, but it's easy to be consumed by those negative parts of your job. Mm-hmm. And so I thought we'd flip the script today. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the last great day you had at work, the day where everything went right. The day where you worked in customer service and everyone said please and thank you, you know, and the day where someone thanked you for a job well done or whatever it is that just made that day great.
Because it's always easy to think about and retell the story that was your worst. I can tell you mine.
For
mine
sure.
Was CakeGate 2019. But your best day is one of those that you kind of just forget about and it goes into the back of your mind. But maybe it's good to reflect on that day because it can help you be thankful.
Absolutely. So that's what we're going to do right now.
Hey, we're gonna have a good day.
Yeah. So what was your last great day at work? The day to end all day. The day you could have walked out of that place and quit and been like, pretty great day. I've ended on a high note here. 855-33-WAY-FM. Because somebody might be having a bad day today, and this might be just the script flip they need to refocus them a little bit and say, you know what, I know I'm going to have a nasty customer, but I'm going to own that situation, and I'm going to make their day great, which is then ultimately going to make my day better. 855-33-WAY-FM. So what was the last great day you had at work? We'll take yours now. So what was your last great work day?
This was years ago. I've
been on a dry patch, not going to lie to you.
Not going to lie. But it was years ago when I was a lot younger and I was working as a counselor in a prison.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I worked with the mental health population. And I had one inmate that was so very discouraged with his educational direction because he just felt he was so stupid that he couldn't even get a GED. And I prayed for this inmate. We prayed together. And, you know, I kept getting him to prep for his test, his GED test. And then I had to go on training for a little while. And then I came back and I got a letter in the mail that he had passed his GED test. And he was so happy. His whole family showed up to his graduation. And so that was just a really good day for me.
That is awesome. And that is a tough job. So any glimmer of hope and goodness in the midst of such a heavy place has got to be a big win for you.
It was. It was a big win for me.
I think it also shows that with any job, when we find that aspect of it where we're helping others, that really brings us happiness. Instead of serving ourselves, us serving others, that's really what brings us fulfillment in our line of work.
Garrett, what was your last great day at work?
Well, sir, it was back in March, and I fly for public safety. And after a 4-hour search in the freezing cold and deteriorated conditions, We came around a turn and over a ridgeline, and me and my camera operator saw the two people we were looking for and were able to save two lives that night. And I've been riding that high ever since.
Oh, man, that's pretty great, because that literally is like finding a needle in a haystack.
Yes, sir. It was a 60-square-mile area we had to start with, and we kind of had to expand from there.
As a fellow amateur first responder, well, he's a professional, but I'm an amateur first responder. I like to be involved where I'm probably not needed or equipped for. I salute you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
There it is.
Sir was not needed in that. No. Okay.
All right, Christine, we're on a roll. What was your last great day at work?
I'm in the healthcare profession, and sometimes when you go into work, you know, you're just tired, you're hurting, just not feeling good. And I was helping this one particular elderly woman, and she came up to me. She was just crying. And she said, "You know what?" And I said, "What?" And she says, "Thank you so much." She goes, "You do not know what you do for me every time you come in here." She goes, "You're the only one." She goes, "You care. You're sincere, and you really want to help me." And that made my day, because I was really not feeling good, and I was in a lot of pain, and I'm like, am I even making a difference?
Right.
You know?
That's almost better than a raise, right?
Yes, exactly.
And you know what? We're going to do you a favor right here. We're not going to tell your boss that makes you happier than a raise, okay? We'll keep that between us. Being the parent of like a little kid, I think has gotten a lot harder than when I was raising my daughter. She's 23 now, and man, I got to tell you, the decisions you have to make and the things you have to monitor and protect your children from today has gotten a lot harder. What do you give them that's still entertaining, but also aligns with your values? You know, we've talked about Way FM being a product that you don't have to filter, but like if you got Netflix in your house, you got to have the filter on.
And even Disney Plus, you have the same problem.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Disney Plus has been disappointing to me as a parent. And some of the things they've chose to put on there, and like, you gotta watch it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so nice to have something. If I was raising little kids, I would do PureFlix subscription, man, because you've got content on there that you're not having to filter out. And as a parent, I mean, I know we want to be involved in our kids' lives, but sometimes you need to park them in front of the TV and take 10 minutes to yourself. That's why PureFlix is a great option for families. You got family stuff, obviously. They're even dabbling in some drama. Yes, and PureFlix originals. Like, I saw the movie on their Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and I have to tell you,
you cried.
I did. There was three times. Not once, three times.
I did.
I wept, and I was moved, and it was a great movie. And I think if I was raising my child now, I think PureFlix would be definitely a part of my family's entertainment plan.
So if you'd like to try PureFlix, text PURE, that's P-U-R-E, to 91979 to get your 1 week free trial. Faith and Family Entertainment with no ads on your favorite devices.
These are the least important stories out of Hollywood, but nonetheless entertaining. Here's Betty Rock with the least of these.
While I'm sure most celebrities are accused of spoiling and lavishing their kids with anything their heart desires, that cannot be said for TV show host and restaurant owner Guy Fieri. He has two sons, and recently in an interview, he admitted that he has a, quote, rite of passage when it comes to them buying their first car.
That's interesting, because he is kind of a car guy, not only a chef, because you know his Diners, Drive-In, and Dives, it always starts with him in that Camaro, and they ship that Camaro to every place he's at. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he drives the same Camaro. It's Guy Fieri here rolling out on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And he's in that same car because he loves that car.
Well, I'm sure he makes a lot of money from doing all, yeah. Especially if he can ship the same car anywhere he goes.
Exactly.
Yeah. But he's not spoiling these two kids. So for the first year of driving independently, both of his boys had to drive old, beat-up cars. And if they could take care of it by not dinging it, getting in any tickets, or getting in any wrecks, then they could use their own money to buy whatever car they wanted.
Good on him.
For example, his first son was given his grandpa's 1996 truck, and it had no working windows. Then his second son was given his grandparents' old mini van.
Oh, so bad. But I love this strategy, man.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's working too, because Fieri's sons, they are thankful for what he did. They said, quote, "He's a great teacher and father, and he leads by example."
That's awesome. Like, my daughter had a different strategy, because she went to school like 30 minutes from the house, and so she just got involved with everything, and then we had to keep taking her, and I'm like, I don't want to take you. And she's like, well, I don't like to drive. I don't want to drive. I'm like, well, you're getting a car. And I'm like, wait a minute. how did she do that?
Well played.
Yeah. Like, I needed to Guy Fieri that situation.
She is your child.
She is amazing. Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. And I am a pretty big man in not stature, but in other ways. Unfortunately.
Attitude.
Yeah, ego.
Anger.
But I'm not tipping the scales at the tallest of men. Actually, I would say, sadly, slightly below average height.
Yeah, I think the average American man is 5'9", I believe. And you and Gavin both come in at 5'6".
Thank you for dragging Gavin into this. Gavin was like over here just being quiet.
Just
like
innocent. Hey,
this is his segment. I'm going to stay down.
I have to drag Gavin into it because you always claim that you're taller than him, and you're not.
I am by half an inch.
No, you're not.
We're going to do smaller or taller right now. Betty Rock has some celebrities, and it's really embarrassing when it's women that are taller than me. But we're going to do smaller or taller. Very simple game here. All you have to do is tell us if the person that Betty Rock is putting up is smaller or taller than me. And the baseline is 5'6" tall. That is how tall we'll go with I am. Although I am 5'6.5", 5'7" on a good hair day when it's sticking straight up. So.
When you haven't gotten a haircut in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm 5'8 then. 855-33-WAY-FM. We have a WAY-FM prize pack you can win right now. 855-33-WAY-FM. It's a very simple game again. Smaller or taller, and if you want to play, we'll do it now. Uplifting WAY-FM. This is The Wally Show. Jamie, welcome to Smaller or Taller, where Betty Rock is going to give you a couple celebrities, and you're going to have to tell us if they are smaller or taller than me, Wally, at 5'6" tall, okay?
Okay.
Now, I do have insoles in my shoes now to help with my plantar fasciitis from playing pickleball. I think they've made me 1/8 inch taller.
Oh.
So maybe 5'6 1/8.
Okay.
Okay.
It still doesn't pass.
All right. So who's up first?
Jamie, the first celebrity I'm going to put up is actually a twin, Cole and Dylan Sprouse. You know them from the Disney Channel's The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. Those cute little boys.
They've grown up. They're men now. Okay. And did they grow much? We don't know. So what do you think, Jamie? Smaller or taller than Wally?
I'm going to say smaller because they were pretty small.
They were small as kids on the show. And I think that they remained that way too. I think they might be just an inch smaller than me at 5'5". Okay, yeah.
Well, you will be looking up to them like a tower.
No.
Yes, what? They come in at 5'11".
What? Oh. They got tall.
Those little boys.
Holy growth spurt, Batman. No, that is crazy. Okay, well, didn't get that one. The good news is you got to get 2 out of 3 right, so you got 2 more to go. You got to get this one.
Okay.
All right, Jamie, Miley Cyrus, do you think sweet little Hannah Montana is smaller or taller than Wally?
I wouldn't say she's sweet anymore, but I would say taller.
Taller? I was going to think smaller, but maybe that's just because she was sitting on a wrecking ball.
Yeah, I think she's tall. I think she's actually, like, you know, taller, like as tall as men. I don't know.
Okay, all right. She might be lanky.
Did you hear what Jamie said? She's as tall as men.
Yeah, I did
but
hear
then
that.
She isn't including you.
Letting it go by.
But I didn't want to let it go
by. I guess. All right, so is Miley Cyrus smaller or taller than Wally?
She's actually smaller.
What?
By only 2 inches.
She's 5'4"?
Yeah, she's 5'4".
She must wear some really high heels.
Because
I thought, like Jamie, that she was lanky like a Taylor Swift. And so, no.
No.
Oh, wow. That is 0-2. Jamie, I am so sorry. That's not enough to pull out the victory today. And plus, I just don't want to hear how many more people are taller than me. but we have a lovely parting gift because you are such a delight. We appreciate you calling and being on the show.
No problem.
Behold God Stuff.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. And God Stuff is where we kind of discuss some of the stuff going on outside of the walls of our four walls of our churches. Like in China, for example, China has never played well with the idea of Christianity in its country. And now they're actually beginning to crack down on churches. One church even fled China due to persecution from the government, and they went to Thailand, but they say their relatives are at home still being harassed. Jeez. You know, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we take our religious freedom so for granted in this country. See, in China, Christians are legally allowed to worship, but only in churches affiliated with the Communist Party or religious groups that are controlled by it. And we have a friend that lives in China, and she can go, because she's American, can go to certain places, but she has to take her passport, and Chinese people can't go to the certain churches she goes to because they're not communist run. It's just so confusing. But they have like tens of millions of worshipers that are, you know, doing this in these underground churches, and you know, and they're doing like home churches. But the Chinese government is trying to shut down these churches and root them out because of their foreign influence and national security concerns. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. One pastor said, "What national security threat? They're not in public squares. They're not trying to shame the Chinese government. They're just trying to seek religious freedom." And if you look at our country, that was one of the principles and the tenets of our country and why it was founded, was religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so long people would put up with being oppressed, you know, until they rebel or revolt. And so this leader said he wasn't able to give his children the religious upbringing he wanted because the state's schools mandate an atheist communism-infused curriculum. So you get it from all sides.
Right.
You know, there's no finding God inside of any of these other places. And he wants his children to learn about the God he believes in. And he says, we're willing to pay the price for that because God always has the best plan.
Man, that makes you just really be thankful for what you have.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, we think that we're persecuted.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know there's no church today at my church. I might break in and just go have my own church there. And just be, I'm like, when the cops come, like, I'm just being thankful. I'm just here worshiping, okay?
Let me know how that goes.
Yeah. I think it'll be fine. That's going to do it for God stuff today.
You may have heard something in a song on Way FM that sounds like it's from the Bible and wondered, where's that at? Well, wonder no more.
So today we're looking at the new song from Colton Dixon called Build a Boat.
I will build a boat in the sand where they say it never ends. I will stand up in faith. I'll do anything it takes with you in my sails. Your love never fails or fades.
I really, really like this song, and I just love the lyrics of that. You know, I'll build a boat in the sand where they say it never rains. And obviously this is a reference to Noah building the ark from Genesis 6. It is, and I know this.
I believe you. I'm just laughing because you've written it all down and you're looking at a piece of paper.
Yeah, I was making sure I got it right. I got it wrong one time. How embarrassing when you do that's where that's at and you get the wrong Bible verse. But I want to make sure I got it right. So yeah, Genesis 6 in the Bible. And the faith it took for Noah to start building a boat, where some theologians actually believe that it had not really rained yet at this time. You know, and so something of this magnitude, you know, maybe it didn't rain a lot, mm-hmm. but it had some. They debate that. But like rain of this magnitude that would require an ark took a lot of commitment and faith for Noah to do as God had commanded.
Yeah.
But I think the takeaway in this for me, when I look at the Noah story, mm-hmm. and in all seriousness, like the takeaway is that most of us have spent time, we say, in church, waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. Just waiting on your timing, Lord. Just over here waiting. Mm-hmm. Just be right over here tucked away waiting for you.
Be impatient.
Yeah, but Noah was actually active in his waiting. So he wasn't just sitting there. Now, God was telling him what to do, but I think that sometimes we think, oh, we're not, what do? We just wait and we just endure this time till we get to the next thing that God has for us. But we can be active participants in our faith while we're in those moments of waiting.
You're saying that his activity is seen in him building the boat?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like he had active faith, and then he wasn't just sitting around waiting for it to happen. He was actually making it happen, which I think is kind of a cool thought. Like if you're in that period of waiting and you're frustrated, it's like, do something, you know, like, don't just sit there, like, do something. You know, I had a pastor once tell me, he said, when you're not sure where God's leading, do the last thing you were sure he told you to do.
Mm.
And like, oh, that makes sense. I'll keep doing that, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe that helps you out a little bit. I don't know, but the story's great. It's Noah from Genesis 6. And the song is Build a Boat by Colton Dixon. And that's where that's at. I'm playing the whole thing for you now. It's a great song. Way of Him.
I've been wandering through the desert,
Ain't seen a cloud in forever over me, but I believe your rain is coming. Yeah, I've been hanging on to high hopes, 'cause you're the one who's making dry bones come to life. You're the light I put my trust.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes, as well as connect with us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And be sure to join our exclusive Potty Facebook group. You can find the link in the description of this podcast. And thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.